Isn't it great to be a Christian? Amen. So that we may be able to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, as well as the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes all knowledge, and that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Now, unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, and unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And together we've said, Amen. That's Ephesians chapter 3, verses 18 through 21. There's so many great things, of course, in the Scripture that encourage us and lift us up, teach us, instruct us, help us to be the kind of people that God is wanting us to be. I led last week with this story. I'm going to lead with it again today so that everybody that wasn't here last week will be on the same page when I use this little phrase. But I read a story in the newspaper, as a matter of fact, about a 5-year-old boy who had taken his pet hamster to kindergarten for show and tell. And all of the children, of course, were inspecting the furry little thing, you know, looking it all over. And finally somebody said, "Is it a boy or is it a girl?" Well, they all sort of looked at each other with that blank stare on their face, you know, like you do when your kids ask you a question about calculus when they get to be that age. It's coming. And they said, "Well, we don't know. We're not really sure. I don't have a clue about how to tell." Until one of the little children said, "I know how we can tell. We can vote on it." Well, maybe not. Because you see, there are some things you just can't vote on. There are things you cannot vote on. And that reminded me of something else I read. I want to share this with you for just a moment. There was a religious group. I'm not going to name what group they are, but they had an annual assembly where they all met together, sometimes in different cities because it made it more convenient and they kind of moved around. But this particular time, they were in Indianapolis, Indiana, and a resolution was brought before the meeting terming that the Bible would no longer or should no longer be the highest authority or taking precedence over reason or tradition or experience of the church in determining Christ's will. One of the leaders said, "I prefer not to place the Bible above Jesus Christ." Well, the vote was an interesting vote. There were 453, I think, delegates that were there. And as it turned out, by a vote of 1,768 to 1,685, they all agreed that the Bible would not be the highest authority, that they would turn to Jesus Christ, or that Jesus Christ would be the highest authority. Now, before you get all excited about where the conclusion is here, let's think about that for just a moment. Because I could not help but think, as I was reading that, that there was some irony in the whole story. That is, that this group was, literally, the Bible lost by just a few votes. In fact, I think the vote total was like 68, that the Bible was not be the highest authority, that Jesus would be the highest authority. And I began to think about the irony of the whole situation. I don't know that they recognized that the matter upon which they were voting was actually an act of establishing some higher authority themselves. Think about it a minute. In other words, they were going to agree on what they voted on about what would be the high authority. That would actually make them the highest authority. Isn't that right? I want to reaffirm to you today that as we get going here in a lesson, and I'm just going to hit the high points of it. I want you to be able to absorb it. But I want you to understand the idea of what it means when the Bible says in Matthew chapter 28 and the following verses that all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. You see, the answer to the question that they were voting on was already delivered. Guess where? Well, it was in the Bible, wasn't it? Yeah, it was the Bible that had said to them, or the words of Jesus that had been recorded, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth, and then go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Now, I know that in America, particularly in America, but I think people as a whole, no matter where they're from, they have a hard time remembering that within Christianity and following God, that we live in a kingdom. It's hard to remember that we have a king. We don't have some democratic society where everybody gets together and expresses what their opinions are and then we have a vote on it. We serve a king. Can I get an amen about the king thing? We serve a king. He says he is the authority. There are several divisions that I think that authority is in. This is, of course, Bob speaking, so this is not the authority. But I think if you look at what's being said in Matthew chapter 28, you will make a recognition in this one division. I think it's mentioned first, that it is for all of creation. It's for everybody. In fact, what he's encouraging the people to do, or the disciples to do, is for them to go into all of the world and to preach the gospel, that message. And they are doing it on the authority of the King, Jesus the Christ. There's no place for some outside scope of that dominion, and there's no limit to the boundary to where that authority reaches. Jesus is not some local person who has some local authority to pronounce some kind of dictation about what would go on in a local area. He is the spiritual Son of God. And he is bringing a message that says to those who follow him, these are his disciples, that they will go into all of the world and to preach that authority into all of what is created. Back in the book of Daniel, give me just a minute to go electronic here. See, we don't have our monitor, and I have to remember where to go. There we go. There you go. You love technology. I could turn around. I know. I can turn around. But this is the thing that's a no-no when you're in preaching school. So my body would not do it. In the book of Daniel, it is written, chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. I kept looking. By the way, this is that marvelous talk about four major beasts. Go read that. This is a really interesting chapter in the book of Daniel. I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming, and he came up to the Ancient of Days, and he presented before him, and to him he was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, the nations, and the men of every language might serve him. Who's this sound like to you? He's the one we're talking about, the authoritative person, okay? And his dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not or will never be destroyed. Now that's interesting to me, Doug. You like to use that terminology. Interesting to you that 6 centuries before Jesus is coming to the earth, that there is a prophet who is telling the people about the authority, the dominion, the scope of Jesus Christ. In fact, these people's question way back over here, we were talking in the illustration, was answered in this passage 6 centuries ago, before Jesus comes. And then add 2,000 to that, and you've got quite a long span of time, isn't it? It's an old question. It always comes up. But Jesus, you see, is in the book. He is the one whom God is speaking of. He is the one who is in the beginning. If you turn to the New Testament, you will find another passage. It's found in the book of Ephesians. And verses 18 through 23, he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of His calling, and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of life that might, which He brought about in Christ. And when He raised Him from the dead, and He seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority, and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come, He put all things in subjection under His feet, and gave Him as the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Well, look, all of this just simply to say to you, do you think that the message of God, as we know it in the Scripture of God, is trying to tell us something about the Lord and His church and about the authority that is to be seen in the person of Jesus? I'm going to say, you know, by the way, Christ is not His last name. It's Jesus who is the Christ. That is the incarnate Son of God. God on earth. God in their presence. Who has that authority? Jesus does. He is head over everything to the body, which is the church, as we read it here. And He is, of course, the head of the church. Now I know when we're thinking about who to go to get permission to do this or that, we might think about one of the deacons, or we might think about the elders, or we might think about even some people sometimes think the preacher. You should know this right now. Preachers have no authority except one. Can I get an amen? It's the only authority I have, and it's really the only authority you have. I know we look for the answers from someone who can help direct us or keep us going, and we have the process for that. But the idea is that Jesus, of course, is this person who has all authority. And that authority, in this next division of it, is for all people. Everybody. It's not just you and me. It's for everybody in the entire creation. All of the people. Not just some of the people. All of the people. That is why we try to help people understand what the Word of God says. Why? Well, because we believe that the Bible is the Word of God. Isn't that right? So that's where we direct them. So that there can be some kind of unity. So that there can be witnessed or seen some kind of authority. The kind of authority that doesn't change. So that all people might recognize the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, said the scripture that we read, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever heard of those being called the marching orders of the church? If you've been in the church any time at all, somebody has made that statement in front of you, that that's what our job is, or that's what we're to go. But you know, you do not want to overlook how that begins. What it says is, therefore. And my college professors always were directing me toward finding out what the therefore was about. Now that was never a good thing, because that usually involved a great deal of study and a great deal of reading. But what is the therefore, go make disciples? The therefore is because of who Jesus is and that He is the authority on all of these matters. That's what we want to go and tell all of the people about. Make disciples because, you see, it is Jesus who has authority over us. Again, Christ is our Lord. And you see, because all the people are going to be accountable to Him. That's why they need to know Jesus. Isn't that right? Everybody will be accountable to Jesus Christ. In the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 9, 10, and 11 state this. For this reason also God highly exalted Him and bestowed upon Him the name, which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess, what, congregation? That Jesus Christ is Lord. See, that's the therefore, isn't it? That's what it was all about. For everybody to confess. Jesus, all creation, for all people to recognize who the King actually is. Even Jesus said to the disciples, after He had asked that question, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Well, they had their answer, didn't they? Well, some say this prophet. Some of the prophets, Jeremiah, Isaiah, some of those. But He redirected the question, didn't He? But who do you say that I am? That's the crux of this. That's the real question for anyone and everyone who follows Jesus Christ. Who do you say Jesus is? Is He the Lord of your life? Is He the master in your family? Is He the one whom you look to? When Luke is recording in the book of Acts, he tells us in chapter 20, down at verse 26, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I do not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. Depending on your version, it might say the whole counsel of God. But whatever it is that God has said to us that we are to do, because we understand that it's all truth. It is the truth of God that we are looking for. all things, everything that I have commanded you. Isn't that what he said? Go into all the world and preach the gospel and teach them all things whatsoever I have said unto you. Well, we know that's because all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, isn't it? Your newer version says it's God breathed. As if God were breathing down on us the message of life. And that it was profitable, again, for our teaching and our doctrine. And reproving whatever it is that we believe. And correction in helping us to live. An instruction that each and every one of us can be a person of God that follows Him. That message is a comprehensive message. It's a message that is complete. It covers all the things that we need to know. You remember when it says in the book of Hebrews that God, who in times past spoke unto the fathers, how? He did it by the prophets, didn't he? But in these last days, congregation, he has spoken unto us through his Son. Yes. By whom he hath made the world, whom he appointed to be heir over all things, even Jesus the Christ. Well, it's intended to be that way even for us. It is the Spirit that quickens us. That's the King James. It's the Spirit that gives us life. This you'll find in the book of John chapter 6 and verse 63. The flesh profiteth nothing, tells the writer there, the Holy Spirit. But the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Spirit and life. See, Jesus was commissioning them to preach the message. He was commissioning them to help understand what the word of the Lord was to be. Paul carried that out himself when he's writing over in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 6. He says, now, brothers, I've applied these things, the things that he's been teaching, I've applied these things to myself and to Apollos for you and for your benefit, so that you may learn the meaning of the saying, do not go beyond what is written. Then you will not take pride in one man against another. You see, the Bible, Paul, through the Holy Spirit, was helping us to understand that the Bible was the message. And if that is confusing you about this authority question, don't let it. Because Jesus is the only one with authority. And it is Jesus who sent the Holy Spirit that he might guide those people, those men, to write the scriptures down. And so that they might know and bring all truth to them, hence bringing it to us. And that we can count upon that. When you're reading in the book of Matthew, and you read about that great Sermon on the Mount, at the very end, toward the very end of that thing, in chapter 7, Jesus has commissioned them to teach. And he tells them to teach everything I have commanded you. And in these words from the Sermon on the Mount, but I say unto you, no wonder the sermon ends with this observation. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law do, but one who had authority above all. You remember in the story of the Gospel of Luke how Peter had been out fishing all night, They hadn't caught anything. Amen. Anybody ever been there? Ain't nothing out there. He'd been out fishing. He hadn't caught anything. Came in the morning. He was tired and discouraged. Don't ask him how the fishing trip went, okay? And lo and behold, here's Jesus on the shore. And what does he want? He wants to go fishing. You got to be kidding me. You asking me to fire this thing back up? Let's get back out there. I've been out there all night long. There's nothing out there. They're not biting out there, Lord. Just not happening. Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught a thing. Listen to Peter's words. But because you say so, we will let down our nets. Now there is a marvelous lesson for Bob right here, and I hope it's one for you. I hope that you can remember this in this reply. How Simon knew that Jesus enough to trust him. Today we ought to have the same attitude. If Jesus said it, it's a good thing. And we need to quit questioning it. And trust in Him. I don't understand all those things sometimes. I just can't get it all fit into my way of thinking. But if Jesus said it, He meant it. It's His Word. It's His authority. And He's expecting us to follow Him, our King. And this one last little thought. Not only is this authority and this teaching, all of the things that we've listed here for creation, for all the people, in all truth, but it's for all time. Matthew 28, verse 20 says, surely I will be with you always, even to the end of the age, end of the world. I'll be with you. Now, modern man's forever thinking that he's outgrown the Bible, or that the teachings of Jesus are really no longer relevant. That was for a different time. Or that the New Testament needs an update. And history proves that they're wrong. The authority of Jesus is just as valid today as it was then. And my message to you today, that Jesus is still King. Jesus is still Lord. Jesus is still in charge of things. And I know that you're probably like I am. If you ride on the passenger side with your wife, you probably put your foot on the brake. Or maybe you put your foot on the gas. Or maybe you turn left when she's turning right. I want to tell you that Jesus is in control. He has got this in our day and time. Isn't that right? And He's going to take care of us. And He's going to help us. And He'll help us get through it. And He'll help us conquer it. Why? Because He's in control of things. And He has the authority to do so. We love you. We hope we can encourage you. You have yet to respond to the gospel. We've got everything ready for that to happen. You could come today and we could take care of that. Whatever might be on your heart, why don't you come while we stand and sing?